Friends, good morning. Thank you and welcome to First Baptist Church. Thank you especially. We're grateful that you're here on a busy day in downtown Ann Arbor. Thank you for coming. And don't forget, they let you park free in that structure for hours this afternoon. So repay the generous city with your generous time downtown. That sounded like a commercial, which I should not be doing. Not much by way of announcement today, but I do want to direct your attention to the news that very soon we're going to be having our annual backpack and school supply collection. That is on the front page of your announcements. There are instructions there for how you participate, either in terms of buying a backpack and filling it or in making financial donations to that good program. Thank you for attending to that. Other announcements are listed. If you've been around our church for many years, you know of Omer Robbins. What they in the past called a pillar of the church, and I suppose we still use such terms here for many, many decades. I have been asked to let you know that Omer has had a neurological event of some sort as of Friday and is in the hospital. It is not, as first thought to be, a stroke. But something else that has not impaired him terribly physically, but has led to some confusion for now and some unanswered questions. He will be in the hospital or in rehab for a while, and the family has asked us to let you know of his new situation. We have much to celebrate and be glad of in our church family as well, and much to celebrate by the fact that we can gather now together in the worship of God. As the Spirit of God has awaited us here, we await the Spirit's fresh gifts for the day. Let us be as open as we can be in heart and mind and life to what may be given to us and what may be asked of us. Let us worship.
Gracious and loving God, you have brought us safely through another week and called us together to sing your praises and hear your word. So open our hearts and minds that we will be encouraged to walk in the world this week as witnesses to your love and power among us and a light in the world. We pray in the precious name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations.
I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens.
Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones.
O Lord God of hosts, who is
you rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them.
The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all its things, you have founded them.
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you.
Hallelujah.
from Ephesians. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So, aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place of God. The word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me, please? God of all hope, God of all joy, your mercies are new for us every morning. Everywhere and always, you are present, and we bless you and thank you for your presence even here with us now. And so we offer our prayers. We ask to be more fully awakened to all your gifts to us, gifts from our past that have enriched us, gifts of the present, and gifts that await us in the future. Stir us to receive these gifts happily and to use them faithfully for your love's sake. Free us from all indifference. Give us a proper passion for the truth and for the living of the truth. Forgive us our sins. And if our hearts need to be broken, let them be broken. And if our lives need lifting into fresh joy and courage, O God, lift up our hearts. We pray for our world, filled as it is with corruption, lies, hatred, and death. It is also filled with people who are pursuing what is good and who with all their hearts want what is right. People who love deeply and who long for the healing of our ancient wounds. Grant strength to such people as these and bless their labors and spread their witness and answer their prayers. To the righteousness of your children, add the titanic power of your righteousness so that the world is transformed nearer to the likeness of what your love has always intended for our life together. And now we pray for these who are known to us. We're Omer Robbins, Don Postema, Bill McKeachy, Jim Suits, Stacy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Saw Mae Lin, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Pat Murphy, Charlene, Lynn, McCallie, and the Jones family, and John Wallace. Now in silence, we hold our need in the light. O God of all compassion, help us now to be deeply receptive of all that you would have us to understand and to all that you would have us to do. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus. We pray it in the words he gave us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you You stand with me, please, for the reading of our gospel. This is a continuation of the story of the apostles who have gone out without Jesus, but with his mission, his commission, his blessing, and his power to do the same work he has been doing, teaching and healing in the villages around Nazareth. This is the gospel according to Mark. Then the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For so many people were coming and going that the apostles and Jesus had no time to eat. And so they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward as we sing.
Miss Mary Margaret read a part of the Bible where Paul, the Apostle Paul, had spent time with Jesus to learn about the way that Jesus wanted us to live. And then the Apostle Paul went and told people. And in this story, he's telling the people of Ephesus what the way of the kingdom is like. And he's telling us, too, in that story we hear today. So you hear Paul say to the people, "Don't build walls that divide." Walls that divide. Paul said, no, you don't want to put people of God, people who worship God this way and people who worship God this way and divide them. Turns out that's what people do. We take all people and we try to put them into groups. And usually one group has more power than the other. Maybe boys and men and girls and women. Or people who have a lot of money and people who don't have very much money. People who've gone to school for a really long time or people who haven't gone to school for very long. Maybe people who have light skin and people who have darker shades of skin. Walls for people who were born in our country, in the United States, and for people who were born in other countries. Well, you know what? Paul says, don't build dividing walls. Knock them down. Knock them down. And then Paul says, instead, build something else. Build a strong foundation. Learning from the apostles. And from the prophets, build a strong foundation with Jesus as the cornerstone, those big, strong corners. Build a strong foundation, Paul says, and then start building up. And what you're building is a place, a good place for God to be. That's us. God says, you're what we're building. Build a strong foundation and grow into a really good place for God to be. What do you think about that? Knock over the walls and grow a good place. For our prayer to end us, I'd like to invite you to stand up. We're going to use our bodies to pray. Can you stand up on your feet? And can you do a push like this? You know when you're little and you love to knock over those walls? Can you go like this? God, help us knock over the walls. Yeah, let's knock them over. Okay, now get your feet really firm, really firm feet. God, help us build our foundation on Jesus. Yeah, get your feet really still there, good, strong. Nobody can knock you over. Okay, now raise your arms up really high. Help us to keep growing into a good place, God, for you to be. Can you all say amen together? Amen. All right, we're going to use our walking feet to Sunday school.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, help us to know in these moments how very near we are to your heart. And help us to find in your heart all that we need for our hearts and for our living. In Jesus' name, amen. In her book, Mama Makes Up Her Mind and Other Dangers of Southern Living, acclaimed Georgia author Bailey White tells wickedly funny stories about Southern women, especially about her elderly mother, Rose. One of my favorites goes like this. One day, Bailey, the author, grown daughter, Bailey begged Mama to knit her a sweater out of some unscoured wool. Mama said, "It stinks." Bailey told her, "Just hold your nose and knit." So Mama did. But 4-year-old Lucy was there too, and Lucy loved the clicking of those needles, and she begged her grandma to teach her how to knit.
No, you're too young, Mama said, as she kept on knitting the stinky wool that Bailey had given her. But Lucy leaned on Mama's lap and begged and said, My baby doll knows how to knit. Her grandma taught her how. So Mama took on the task of teaching Lucy how to knit. Then Mama's daughter Louise came over waving a steamy novel at her and saying, Mama, you've got to read this. It's due back at the library, so I'll give you 2 days. So Mama started to read. Then Mama's niece Sophie, a fundamentalist Christian, stopped by and saw her with that book and said, If you have time to read, don't you think you ought to be reading the Bible? So that night, Mama gathered her girls together. Her lap was empty. No knitting, no 4-year-old, no novel, no Bible. And Mama said to her daughters, Girls, I have an announcement to make. I'm going camping. Camping, Louise said. You're too old and feeble. You don't have a tent, Bailey added. I'm tired, Mama told them firmly. I'm tired of breathing the essence of sheepfold. I'm tired of teaching babies to knit. I'm tired of being set upon by a crazed Christian 1 minute and unbridled libertines the next. Girls, I'm going camping. And she gathered up her grandson's cowboy sleeping bag, her walking stick, matches, food, and all 4 volumes of the Cyclopedia of American Horticulture, and she walked out the door. How long are you going to stay? Her daughters called after her. Just as long as I want to, Mama replied, and off she went. And she was gone for days. At night, Bailey could see the tiny glow from Mama's fire. And at dawn, if Bailey went out to the edge of her pasture and listened very carefully, she could just barely hear her mama singing, Meet me in St. Louis. Sometimes a person just needs to get away. And sometimes, like Mama, we wait until we are totally worn out before we recognize it. And yet, even then, when we're so tired and so spent, we often feel this nagging sense of guilt about our need to step back, check out, recharge, rest, get off the grid, go camping. Even when we're exhausted, sometimes even when we're sick, it's hard to feel okay about just resting when there is so much always we have to get done. It's not just guilt, though, is it? I mean, there's at least a little pride in it, too, right? How are you? Someone asks us, and what is our answer? Busy. I'm so busy. And it may be wearing us out, but isn't there some little, slightly twisted part of us that feels like somehow being busy justifies our existence? If we're busy, we must be necessary. If we're busy, we must be valuable. Maybe even invaluable. And it's not just the way we live our professional lives, it's the way we're taught to live our personal lives too. There are the kids, the pets, the house, the yard, the errands, all those emails, the projects, the never-ending to-do list. There's just too much to keep up with. Even in summertime, we feel it. Because even going on vacation means all that work that was going to happen during that week or two has to happen before we go. And then we've got to get ready with all of our things and our kids' things. And then when we get back, then there's all the stuff we've got to catch up on. Even in retirement, even when we're ill, even when we're old, we feel the pressure to be busy, to get it done, to be useful, to feel justified. Jesus knew what it was like to have a lot of demands on him. He went from town to town. He went from village to village, home to home, teaching, preaching, healing, exorcising, confronting, touching, loving, listening, serving, giving, doing. And the people would take everything he had to give and then ask for more. There was no bottom to their need. And Jesus gave and gave and gave. But that was not all he did. He also obeyed a deeper God-given rhythm. He practiced Sabbath, that command, not just invitation, that command to lay it all down, lay down the work, the obligations for a day and rest, renew. Sabbath is a liberation from the illusion that we are going to get everything done, that we have to get it all done. Sabbath is a liberation from the illusion that our value comes from what we do. Jesus didn't wait until he and his disciples had finished all their work and met every need. As we heard in the Gospel of Mark this morning, the apostles came back to Jesus from their work in the villages to tell him all they had done and taught. But when they returned, so many people were still coming to them for help that there wasn't even time to eat. And in the midst of all this need, in the midst of all this urgency, Jesus beckoned the disciples, "Come away with me to a quiet place so we can rest a while." It was in the midst of the work, when there was no time for leisure, that Jesus called them to make time. "Come away," he said. And those are some sweet words, aren't they? Come away. Those words are always invitation, never reprimand. Come away is very different from go away. Come away means someone is beckoning you towards, not dismissing you from. They're not even telling you to get away. They're telling you, come away. The words are focused less on what you're leaving behind, less on what you're leaving undone, than they are on what lies ahead for you. And to hear the words "come away" means you won't be going alone. It means you are going with someone and you are going towards something. All the better then that Jesus is the one saying such sweet words. "Come away," he says, and he means with him. And so his disciples get in the boat with him and go to a deserted place, a quiet place. Mark doesn't tell us anything about what that quiet, isolated place was like, other than the fact that no sooner than they got there did a large crowd of people show up. They were found even there. Sometimes that's the way it goes. And when Jesus saw the large and needy crowd, he had compassion on them and began to teach them many things. And he teaches us something in this too. Sometimes rest doesn't have to be long in order to recharge us, to give us what we need, to fill us up for what's ahead. They didn't get all the time they'd been looking towards in a deserted place, but they got the time on the boat with Jesus. It's a reminder that we don't have to wait until we can have a nice big vacation in order to find the deep, true rest that God invites us towards, even in small chunks. It doesn't have to be a trip. It doesn't have to even be a retreat. It's also not the same as zoning out or checking out or vegging out, though sometimes those things have to happen before we can tune in to the something deeper that God wants for us. Moments to rest, to renew, to recharge, moments of coming away with Jesus. These are things we can carve out a little bit at a time, anytime, for any amount of time. It can be a whole day. It can be an afternoon. It can be an hour like we have together now. It can be a few moments. It can be dedicated time early in the morning or late at night, time to pray, time to read your Bible, time to listen. Or it can be various moments throughout the day when you allow yourself with attention to be drawn into the depths of God by taking just a little time to delight in the little wonders of this God-given life, the beauty of the bird outside your window, the laughter of a child, the words of a friend, the taste of coffee, the smell of rain, the sound of your favorite song, the colors of the sky at twilight, the touch of someone who loves you. Any one of these, or a thousand more, can whisper to you Jesus' ongoing invitation, "Come away with me for a little while." Minister and author Wayne Muller writes that Sabbath time is not just about what we usually think of as the Sabbath day. It is anything that preserves a visceral experience of life-giving nourishment and rest. It is time consecrated with our attention, our mindfulness, honoring those quiet forces of grace or spirit that sustain and heal us. So many of us are shackled to the idea that we need something more than everything we've already got. More money, more space, more time. To come away is a chance to see the abundance and beauty and blessing in everything we already have, to feel the contentment of that, the enoughness of that, to be grateful, to be so filled up that we can't help but be less focused on getting more and more focused on giving more out of what we have. This kind of Sabbath living can reorient our whole lives and how we feel about them. The fact that Jesus began helping people again so soon after carving out time away teaches us that rest also isn't just for our own sakes. It makes us better able to respond to the needs around us. And you know, when you're not well rested, how you might tend to treat the people around you, and what a difference it makes when you feel good, solid, grounded, rested. This kind of Sabbath rest does ground us. It makes us calmer and steadier in the face of the increasingly distressing news in our world. When our souls are well rested, souls and bodies, then whatever we do to help heal the wounds of the world can be done with deeper wisdom and deeper joy and deeper love. When we are filled, we have more to give.
Again, in the words of Wayne Muller, once people feel nourished and refreshed, they cannot help but be kinder. And the world aches for the generosity of a well-rested people. The generosity of a well-rested people. Can you imagine? That could be us. Just think of what you could give to this world, do for this world, change in this world, if you, if I, if we, each of us, listened to and responded to Jesus' deep, beautiful invitation to come away. I'll confess, I'm not very good at this. I'm trying to get better. I pray, I read my Bible, I try to sit in silence a few minutes each day. I do watch the birds. I take long walks. I try to practice mindfulness and gratitude and delight. But I still make a god out of busyness. I live under the tyranny of the to-do list. My eyes are consumed with too many screens for too much of the time. And I don't get enough sleep. How about you? I want to get better at this. Don't you want to get better at the real rest that we are called towards for the sake of our souls and the sake of our world? Our worth does not come from our usefulness or our busyness. We were created as valuable, worthy, beloved children of God, and called to be partners with Jesus in spreading this beautiful news and in loving and healing the world. But in order to do that, we have to also respond to his invitation. Come away. Pray, play, laugh, love, sing, sleep, stop. Be silent, be still, look, listen, taste, touch, delight. Come away. In her poem, Camas Lilies, the writer and minister Lynn Unger puts the invitation like this. Consider the lilies of the field, the blue banks of camas opening into acres of sky along the road. Would the longing to lie down and be washed by that beauty abate if you knew their usefulness? How the natives ground their bulbs for flower. How the settlers' hogs uprooted them, grunting in gleeful oblivion as the flowers fell. And you, what of your rushed and useful life? Imagine setting it all down. Papers, plans, appointments, everything. Leaving only a note. Gone to the fields to be lovely. Be back when I'm through with blooming. Even now, unneeded and uneaten, the camas lilies gaze out above the grass from their tender blue eyes. Even in sleep, your life will shine. Make no mistake. Of course, your work will always matter. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. In your bulletins, you have, as always, a connection card. If you fill out the front of it, that will help us know
who you are, that you were here, and anything else you need or want us to know on the front. On the back, as always, there are next steps you can take, including finding a way to incorporate some sort of restful, rejuvenating practice into your life this week. You don't have to tell us what it is. You can. But think about it in these moments as we make our offering. What does the invitation to come away with Jesus look like for your life this very week? Now we come with joy to bring and give our offerings with gratitude. Loving God, by grace you have given us so much. In gratitude we have given back. Take these gifts, our lives and our church, and use them for the work of your love and healing in our world, your world. In Jesus' name, amen. To give, and it is our privilege to bless each other with that peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you.
May God's face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you.
May God give you grace to love with all your heart.
That you may do justice.
To love with all your mind.
That you may show kindness.
To love with all your soul.
That you may walk humbly with your God.
And go from this place to love the Lord.